The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, shame on you. It was an okay hour. It was pretty decent. It's all available on podcastarena.com. Wasn't great. Wasn't awful. But decent enough. I figured out my thing with the Olympics. And somebody from the 832 says, I agree about most of the Olympics, but what about Simone Biles, the all-world gymnast from Houston? Good luck. I hope she wins. I want Americans to win.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to me.
Watch.
See, and Drunk Bevo says, I do like U.S. hockey, probably the only Olympic sport I watch. See, I like Olympic hockey, but I'm so tired of Canada beating us because I have to hear about it every freaking time, which has been the last two Olympics, which is pretty much as long as I've known this person. So, and actually somebody's asked, what do you think about the World Cup of Hockey? I'm actually trying to work a trip up to Toronto during that so I can catch Team USA. But it's during football season, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull it off. But I think that'll be fun. See, I don't want to go and see Canada win again.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I mean, not against USA, man. But here's what my real issue is. I think it's for all those years when I was at the newspaper, we had to go way overboard with Olympic coverage. We did special sections every day. We sent like as many people as the Olympic committee would let us send. We spent a ridiculous amount of money, and I had to pretend to care about it for basically 20 years. So now that I don't have to, I think that's what it is. If I were putting me on a couch, I would say now that it's one of those things, I don't have to care about women's basketball anymore either. When I was in charge of the paper and the damn Comets were winning, guess what? Had to follow it. And we had to cover women's sports equally to men's sports.
No, that's ridiculous.
I know. I'm just saying, that was for 20 years.
That's ridiculous.
That was for 20 years I had to do that stuff. I had to answer those questions. When like the UConn women won one year, and it's like, well, are we going to treat this the same way we did the UConn men? Well, no, because it's men's basketball, and one of the kids on that team was from Houston. Bel Air, technically. But no, that was the kind of stuff I had to deal with. And now that I don't have to care, I don't. And I think the Olympics are part of that.
Yeah.
Because I had to know every one of these people. We did all these previews. Every single sport you had to kind of be an expert on.
And
I haven't had to care about it for almost 10 years now. So.
Yeah, it's kind of nice not having to pretend that you care about some sports.
That's, yeah.
I'm big on that. And I've never, I remember I had a program director that I hated. When I was young in this business, and he was always, you need to be a jack of all trades. If you're not interested in something, you need to learn about it anyway and see why other people might be interested in it. And I was like, it just sounds fake. Like if I try to pretend I'm interested in something I'm not, you guys are gonna know it. Like if I act like I'm some sort of an expert on women's basketball, you guys would be able to tell because I'd be lying.
Other than maybe you read something and you're gonna bet on it. Then you could just repeat that.
Yeah.
And even then.
But I'm not doing that. Yeah. Am I crazy? Betting on women's basketball. Who's doing that?
Didn't one of us bet the first half over on UConn in one of those games this year? Because
it wasn't me.
Because they'd gone over something like 7 out of 8.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I've been too disciplined lately on my betting.
But Yeah, it, that doesn't mean that there aren't people that like it, and it doesn't mean that those sports aren't important to other people. It's just, I guess when you've had, when you've been made to care about something for so long that you don't really care about, and you don't have to anymore,
yeah,
it's kind of liberating. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like a divorce. Where you had to pretend like you liked the person for the last few years and you really didn't, and now you're free. You're not gonna worry about their issues and concerns now, are you? You're gonna be like, okay, hey, the page is turned. I'm a free person, a free man or a free woman. Why do I care if this person's having issues? Had to hear about them long enough.
True.
I think we made real progress here. Latasha, I just got to the Facebook page. For some reason, I was having trouble getting on there. Says she and her husband both enjoy the show. Don't understand why anyone would stop enjoying it just because I have a boyfriend or husband. They, you know, they're the ones who lose
out.
People
do.
Yeah, it's just very strange. I'm not quite sure what the... I'm not sure what causes that. Let's try phone call. Is that Jinx? Is that what it is?
What up?
How's it going? Hey, man. I was just going to talk to you guys about that HBO show, man. I don't usually mess with that show myself, but I found myself passing by it and got stuck to it, and I could not turn away from it. These guys go and show you the whole process of this the Olympics and how many people have to get bribed for them to have them in a certain country. Man, it's ridiculous. The people actually suffer, even though the Olympic committee say that they'll be much better off after they've had the games there. Man, these people are being dragged from their houses in the middle of the night, and their houses literally being torn down minutes after they're dragged out of there because they don't want to sell their property. They don't want to move. They move them forcefully. There was a guy, man, that they ran a tank over, man. His legs looked like broken bamboo.
Jeez.
They showed pictures of it. The whole Zika virus deal and the water conditions that these athletes have to be in. It's ridiculous, man. You got to see that show.
I'll probably watch
it. Yeah, now you got me interested. Damn you.
Yeah. I'd like to know.
Yeah, that does sound... Because I do like it when John Oliver did the whole thing on the World Cup being down there. I loved it. Of course, he makes it funny on top of doing that kind of stuff. But, yeah, see, now I'm interested. Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN. Leon says, I'll see your Zika and raise you brain-eating amoeba. Rio versus H-Town.
But you can avoid the water. You can't really avoid mosquitoes. Right? You don't have to go into the water in Galveston, but mosquitoes are kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
So he asked, do you know what happened with the Chronicle's buyout of all the local papers and the layoffs recently? I do not. To be honest, I don't really keep up with much of what they do anymore. It's like an ex-wife.
Yeah, you let it go.
Now, I have a few friends that I still see there on occasion, but it's usually when the racetrack's open. So I'll get caught up on everything that's been happening there in January. And they all come out there and hang out. Let's try Don. Don, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys, sports.
Yeah,
you know, that is crazy how the Olympics and even the World Cup, they shove it down those, you know, they put it in those third world countries where they're not even cities before they even make a bid on it, where, you know, you could have the World Cup in Texas, you know, between NRG, Rice Stadium, UT, Jerry World. You could have the Olympics in Austin, the Summer Olympics. You could have Olympic Village, could be the dorms at UT. You know, I mean, everything's there already. It's crazy, the corruption. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, it's a mess. I think that they need to be better about where they – I understand that, you know, you can't do every Olympics in the United States. I get that. I'm not that arrogant of an American to think that we're the only ones who can do it. But I do think that...
Because Australia did a great job with them a few years ago. You could have them there. They've got all that stuff set up.
Yeah.
I mean...
I just think there are certain countries where it just takes some common sense to look at what's going on in this country and realize that they're not in a spot where they should be hosting an Olympics. You know, if you've got government unrest, you've got people who are, you know... are being booted out of their home so you can build these things. It's not, no one needs that. No one needs, the Olympics don't have to be in Brazil that bad. And what you mentioned it, the World Cup there was such a mess.
Yeah.
And then they tried to do this right afterwards.
I can't imagine trying to do those two things within 5 years of each other.
They just, they overfilled their plate, man, is what they did.
Yeah, the John Oliver thing on that was really interesting because there was some soccer stadium that they basically built in a rainforest that was never going to get used for anything else, that was just built for the World Cup. It's like, it seems to me if you were having both, couldn't you, and you were going to build things, couldn't you kind of build them for both the Olympics and the World Cup?
You would think.
Theoretically?
What's crazy is this isn't just Brazil, like South Korea. It's a first, you would consider that a first world country, right?
Of course.
Yeah, great technology and whatnot. But going back over there, their World Cup stadium from, I can't remember, what is it, early 2000s? It's just sitting there doing nothing. And it's just just filling up space. They don't use it for anything.
Aren't you guys having a Winter Olympics too? Isn't that coming up?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't really follow Olympics that much. But that stadium, couple stadiums there are just sitting there not doing a damn thing.
If I were Olympic God, like tomorrow, if somebody died and they made me Olympic God, then the summer games would either be in the United States, Europe, or Australia. Maybe Japan. That's it. Rotate those four. And the winter games.
You know, they did it in China and there was a lot of people worried about it, but China has the money to back
and China,
that thing up.
And China did a good job. So I would say one part China or Japan, you rotate them. You rotate it through Europe, here in Australia. And then the winter ones would just be Canada and then whatever Norway place, you know, whatever European.
Finland or
Finland,
whatever,
Norway, yeah. Sweden, you know, where they have fjords and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Nice and simple. Because those places will be set up so you don't have to build new things. That's the thing.
Like, I mean, there should be maybe six places that have the games. And then if you – and for here, I mean, sports are so prominent that you don't even have to build new stuff because we have stuff for that can accommodate all this.
Have them in Atlanta again. That actually worked out pretty well. And all that stuff's built.
I mean, I think there are places with better facilities in Atlanta. You could have them in Dallas.
There are some things, though, that you can't – that stuff like the rowing and things like that, there's a whole bunch of little sports that you and I wouldn't think about.
Right.
That you have to have a specific setup for. Because there was at one point they were talking about a bid here in Texas that would involve Austin and Houston and kind of the whole area.
For the Olympics?
Yeah, and it never materialized.
That's never going to work.
No, and I'm glad it didn't because that's the last thing I want. I mean, Houston has enough traffic problems without bringing some damn Olympics here. Lauren asked, how much money do the Olympics bring to a country? And that's a really good question because
I'm sure it brings a lot, but does it bring enough to warrant the hassle that's going into it? I don't know.
I think,
like, for a country like that, I don't know if it's worth it, if the juice is worth the squeeze.
I know it's a substantial economic impact, but it's also one of those that, from the studies I've seen, it's a lot like the Super Bowl, where they tell you the Super Bowl brings in X amount of dollars, but then when you really start breaking it down, it's not as much as it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's got to be good because, for one thing, all the hotels are sold out and they're all gouged. Trust me, I used to know how much we had to pay for these damn hotels in these places. You get gouged out the you-know-what. So those all make a lot of money. Obviously, cabs and things like that make a ton of money in addition to that. It's a lot like here. They have that airport tax that helps pay for the stadium. Places like that, you have a tax there for people who are traveling in. So, I mean, and plus we're talking about two whole weeks here. This isn't the Super Bowl where people are going to come in for a week, basically, and then leave. I mean, that's 2 weeks of people coming and going for different events. So, yeah, it's a huge economic impact. The question is, considering the issues they have, is it going to be enough to make up for what they've had to spend? I'm guessing it will, but I don't know. All right, well, I'll tell you what. If you're feeling bad about the Olympics and you're wondering about how they're going to pay for all this stuff, and now suddenly you're depressed. Well, I'm going to cheer you up. I'm going to tell you how to get cheered up. You do something nice for somebody. It's real easy. You do a favor. And you do a favor that benefits you. And that's why I'm going to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies. Because here's what you can do. You can help. And if you've got a vehicle, doesn't matter what it is, motorcycle, car, truck, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. If it's not running, if it's just been sitting there in the garage, you don't know what to do with it, Maybe you got a tractor sitting out in the barn. You don't know what to do with that. It doesn't work anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter where you're located. You can be over in Port Arthur. You can be over in Vidor. Hell, you can be over in Vinton or Lake Charles. Sulfur. They'll come and tow it free of charge. And they're going to fill out the paperwork. And your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're going to get Astros tickets if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. So here's what you do. You donate that vehicle, and they're going to use that to help the kids at Houston Can Academy. These are kids who've dropped out of other schools. They get a second chance. These are kids who, a lot of them really, really good kids, man. They had to get jobs to support their family, or they had other kind of issues, and that's why they had to drop out. Well, Houston Can Academy gives them a second chance. They work around their schedule. They get the kids what they need to be successful, and so many of them graduate and go on and do great things. And these are kids that might have never gotten a chance if not for Houston Can Academy. So here you go. This is how you cheer yourself up. You donate that vehicle. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. That money's going to go. It's going to help kids, and you're going to feel good about yourself. You're getting rid of something that you don't even use anymore, and you're getting Astros tickets. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. 4226 or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. So I'm looking at the Facebook page. And Steven says, this is Steven. I used to write you guys when I was incarcerated in the Styles unit until 2015. Okay. Wanted to let you, I think he called in one time because he's in Amarillo now. That sounds very familiar. And was incarcerated for 7 years, 4 months, and he's getting to listen to us now in the free world. So, good job, Steven.
Damn right.
Stay out of that place.
Yeah.
7 years, 4 months is long enough.
Keep your nose clean, bro.
That's right. But I still want to do a show in a prison.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
No, oh, well.
No talent fee.
Yeah, I would do it without that. I you know what else I'd like to do? At some point, I'd like to do one in a, like at one of the fire stations or someplace like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'd do that for no talent fee, too. Let's get one more phone call on this, and then I have some one-hit wonders for you. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports.
Sports to you.
I was just calling about the Olympic Games, and I was thinking it's such a drain on the economy of the host country. I wouldn't want it in America. And I think it's been a long time since it actually made money for anyone. And I know it took 30 years for Montreal to pay off the 1984 Olympics. So I thought maybe if I was the Olympic committee, I would just keep it in Athens every time where it started.
I think that would be cool.
Hear what y'all think. I'll hang up and listen.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah, except if we're going to, if it really does that much damage to economy,
Greek economy,
that Greek economy is in a little bit of trouble. So, I'll have to do some research on Montreal and places like that. I think it's, but if you have to build stuff for it, which they make you do, now the World Cup, I know they lost money on in Brazil because the World Cup's, FIFA's the one that makes all the money off of that. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same thing with the Olympic Committee.
And from what I'm reading, it's the sponsors like McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and all these different sponsors for the Olympics and World Cup. They make a boatload of that money that gets generated, that quote unquote gets generated, and not a lot of it goes back into the city.
Interesting. I got to think you make money though off of, well, I guess individual companies would make money, hotels and things like that, but. If your city is spending a whole bunch to build a bunch of crap, oh well.
That's the thing. You would hope that it's something that you can reuse,
Yeah, well, but some of those things they're not really practical for anything else.
Right.
But, man, somebody on Facebook tagged me with this thing. I may make this gym of the day, or I may just do it next segment. We'll get to that because I promised you some one-hit wonders. The USA Today did its 10 one-hit wonders in pro football that basically had one great year and then
vanished forever.
Yeah. Let's see how many of these you remember. Or
how many I recall.
Yes. Well, it's hard to forget this guy because he had just an awesome year. Maybe the best year a Browns quarterback has had. Derek Anderson is number 10 on the list.
Yeah. Did this list get created because of Nick Foles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Larry Brown of the Cowboys.
Okay.
Remember, he had the two interceptions.
Super Bowl MVP.
Bowl MVP and then never anything else. Okay, this one goes back a ways. It might be a little bit before your time. 1989, Don Majkowski of the Packers, the quarterback.
It's right when I was first getting into football. I just remember him having a mullet.
Yeah, he had a mullet.
Yeah.
And he was
I couldn't tell you anything about his game.
He was second in the MVP voting behind Joe Montana in 1989.
Oh, wow, I wouldn't have guessed that.
27 touchdowns, led the Packers to the playoffs. And then he was hurt 3 years in a row and finally replaced by some guy named Brett Favre. But yeah, he had a mullet. Steve Berline of the Panthers.
Okay, that's a good one.
Here's what you probably...
He had like a huge season. Like
in 90,
over 4,000 yards. Like,
4,436 yards, 36 touchdowns.
Dude, that's a...
And you know who won the MVP that year? That was Kurt Warner. He had more passing yards. That was the greatest show on turf. More passing yards than Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
He lasted one more season in Carolina and then was basically a backup. Okay. First of, I don't know how many white running backs on the list, but Peyton Hillis.
Oh, shocker.
1,100
digit touchdowns.
Yeah, 1,100.
Never again.
1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns his first year in Cleveland. He was on a Madden cover, and now he's probably driving a truck. 2004, Michael Clayton, wide receiver of the Bucks.
That's a George Clooney movie, not a...
is a George Clooney movie, which is also was also not even a one-hit wonder. 80 passes for 1,193 yards, 8 touchdowns. He only had 3 more touchdowns over the last 7 years of his career.
God, I barely even remember him.
Number 4, this one's easy to remember, Bob Griffin Jr.
Oh, I remember him, all right.
Number 3, Icky Woods.
Poor Icky.
15 touchdowns and tore his ACL early the next season, only played 19 more games before retiring at 26. He ran for just 459 yards.
So fat now.
Total over the next 3 years after his 1,000-yard season.
So wait, that was his rookie year, the year that he scored all those touchdowns?
I believe so.
Oh, man.
Number 2 on the list, Nick Foles, which... And here's one that just way before my time. Even for me. Greg Cook, quarterback Bengals, 1969.
Yeah, I don't know anything
about that. Basically...
Doesn't he do a show on 790?
Greg Cook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that him? No way.
No, this guy was a quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Bill Walsh said he could have been... the greatest quarterback of all time. 3 games into his career, he suffered a torn rotator cuff and never played again.
Yeah, the one on 790, he played tackle.
Okay. So he's a big boy.
And Icky Woods is the last thing I saw him do was the Geico commercial.
Yeah, he's super fat.
Yeah, he's put on a bunch of weight.
Hard times.
713-780-ESPN. Bolinowski says ESPN said the Astros no longer interested in LaCroix. What should they do about catcher? I'm guessing that the price was probably too high.
And it should be.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to...
He's under team control for a while. He's cheap.
Yeah. So, 713 says Atlanta, Beijing, and London all made more money than they cost. Athens lost $14 billion, according to...
$14 billion?
That's what it says, with a B.
Ouch.
So, yeah, I'll have to go in and research all that. Adelman asks, is Jim McMahon on that list? No, but I thought he had a couple of pretty good years. I mean, they didn't get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call him a one-hit wonder.
But maybe a one-and-a-half-hit wonder. Maybe it was kind of like Men at Work. He had 2 songs instead of 1. But anyway. Eugene, Atlanta's Olympics went well, except for that one thing, you know.
That one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I have the best job ever for a blitzer, but I'm probably going to apply for it myself.
Penis model.
Huh?
Penis model.
No, God, no.
Oh, is it the Smithsonian job?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So, Cal-El on Facebook tagged me on this. Kneel before Jor-El. That's the only thing I hated about Man of Steel, is that he never said that. This is the most famous line from the original Jor-El. You had to say that, right? No, you didn't say that. Kneel before Jor-El. Anyway, so here's a great job. And frankly, I think I'm applying for this. Pay $64,000 a year, which, you know, that's a pretty significant pay cut. But when I think about how much I spend on beer, it might be a wash.
Yeah.
But the Smithsonian Museum is hiring a craft beer historian. And they're not looking for just any beer drinker. They're encouraged to come prepared with an advanced degree in American business, brewing, food, or history. Okay, I don't have that, but must have proven experience in scholarly research. I've done that. Organizing and conducting oral history interviews. Done that. Writing for both scholarly scholarly and general audiences. It just, you know what? Actually, maybe the penis model sounds better. That'd be okay because nobody would know who you are, right?
True.
But what do you need a...
If I was a penis model, I'd want people to know who I was. But, I'd be like, yeah, get up here with the face, too. Y'all need to know about this.
Do you think you would get them to take camera angle shots like people do on Facebook when they make themselves look skinny?
Oh, I'd Photoshop the hell out of it. Oh, of course. What am I going to do, put my real penis out there?
Totally make it look like Greg Oden.
Be ashamed.
But apparently, it's a three-year position, requires you to travel, interview beer industry professionals, write articles about beer, perform research for exhibits and archives, and, of course, drink beer. I love this idea.
That's a pretty good gig.
Application is due on August 10th. So if you're interested, you need to go to the Smithsonian website to apply. But $64,000, but I'm assuming your beer is expensed.
Yeah.
I could probably do another $35,000 at least in beer.
You could do some damage.
Still not quite enough, but it sounds like it'd be fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, just thought I'd pass that on to the Blitzers. Let's grab.
It sounds like a lot of stuff though. Having like a degree in beer.
Well, it sounds like a visiting professorship is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't have a business degree, so I don't know if that would work. But other than that, let's grab a phone call. Ruben, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Gracias. Gracias para.
Yeah, sí. Okay, I've never heard anybody actually call and have the radio turned up, and it's
mucho,
not us.
Mucho gusto. Mucho gusto. Gracias.
¿Cómo se dice keyboard cat in Espanol?
Órale, Holmes.
El gato. What? What would keyboard be?
El gato de. I don't know what. The piano. Is it piano?
I don't remember.
El gato de piano.
Anyway. Okay, let's try James. Or Hymus. What's up, James?
Not much. I just have a question for you guys with the football season coming up.
It is.
What do you think
hold on,
is the Texans'
out.
Most
it
overrated?
It is piano.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
El gato de piano.
There you go. Okay, sorry. Go
okay,
ahead,
go
James.
Ahead now.
So my question is, with the Texans football season coming up, who do you think is the most overrated and underrated player on the roster, and what are the chances we're going to be in the playoffs this year?
42% chance on the playoffs. Now I'll go 37% chance. Got to factor in a little more injuries.
Okay.
Most overrated?
Vince Wilfork.
I would
at
say.
At this point.
Yeah, although I don't really rate him. I kind of figure he's just sort of a fat guy in the middle, and that's what he does.
People still act like that dude's a force.
Yeah, I guess that's probably fair, but I would vote for either Clowney simply because
I'd also sprinkle a little Derek Newton on that too. And I know everybody loves that guy.
Yeah, and I'm gonna throw some Will Fuller at you.
I'll throw Brian Cushing at you.
Ooh. That's a good one too.
Yeah,
that's a real good one. Mm. Underrated, most underrated player on the team. Probably J.J. Watt.
Get out of here. Andre Howell.
That's a good one.
Andre Howell's a really solid player. And, I would either say him.
I might go Kareem at this point.
Yeah, he's turned into.
Because a lot of people still think of Kareem as trash can rookie Kareem, and he's no longer that. He's a real versatile player.
Can I throw Benardrick McKinney at you?
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, that is. Because especially he played really well over the second half of the season. I think he's going to have a big year. But he was a second-round pick, so you do expect him to be pretty good. But that's a good one.
Well, but, I mean, hell, Kareem Jackson was a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I do think most people still think of Kareem Jackson as he just fell down Kareem Jackson. Yeah. Mott says merciless.
Over or underrated?
I would say, he'd have to be underrated after the year he had last year, right?
Yeah.
But I think he gets a lot of attention.
I'm a big believer in if you're standing on the other side of J.J. Watt, you're probably going to do okay.
So you would say over.
I'm not going to say over. I mean,
I think he's rated. I think he's right where he should be.
I mean, I think if somebody else was doing that job that, you know, in that same spot, with as long as J.J.'s on the field, they'll do okay.
Lance says Barry Warner loves him some Will Fork.
Yeah, listen. Okay. I mean, I like the guy. He's a
for what you brought him in to be.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about him. I'm just saying that if you still think that he's like the dominant force that he once was, he's not that anymore.
Who thinks that though? I don't see anybody that thinks that.
Maybe. Well, I mean, does anybody still think that about Brian Cushing?
Not really. I don't. I think of Brian Cushing as a functional middle linebacker. He's not a playmaker anymore. Hasn't been since he got hurt and stopped PEDing.
He's solid.
I mean, it's not like he's a bad player. I mean, he's above average, but he's not a star. He's not rookie of the year anymore.
I'm trying to think who else would be considered overrated on that team. I don't know. I don't think there's too many more overrated guys. You mentioned Will Fuller. That might not be a bad one.
Well, it's hard to say because he's new.
All right, but people. I mean,
boy, I'm not a fan.
Overhyped maybe a little bit, but I might go with Cecil Shorts as a little bit underrated.
Yeah, I think Jalen Strong's going to have a big second year, but it's hard to say because he was a reasonably high draft pick. So,
yeah,
kind of hard to say underrated or overrated.
He's kind of got some of that Kareem to him. Like, if he has one more crappy year. And then he gets good, then he'll probably be underrated. But as of now, he's just kind of a disappointment.
Well,
that people are expecting to turn the corner.
Yeah, well, everything I hear about him, he showed up in shape. He's working his butt off, and he's picked up the offense. So
Jalen Strong and Xavier Suofilo are the two guys that, for some reason, they haven't done a damn thing, but people think that, they're going to turn the corner this year. They're going to be good.
I think Strong will. I'm not yet sold on Suofilo.
You know I'm not sold on Suofilo.
I think he either turns a corner or he's a bust at this point.
Jeff Allen may be underrated too. I mean, he's an interior lineman, so people don't really know about him, but that's a really good player.
Yeah, I think that's a good pickup. People are going to be happy with him. All right. Jong, I know you've been doing Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Can you explain the concept of eggs? That hatch and turn into new Pokemon?
Yeah, so you hit up these Pokestops and then you get these eggs that you put in incubators, and it depends on how many steps you take. The egg is, so if you have a egg that says 10K, then it takes longer to incubate than a 2K egg. That's how many number of steps you need to take.
Yeah.
So
do you get better Pokemon for the 10K version?
So the 10K version versus the 2K version, the 10K obviously will have a stronger Pokemon in it.
Like Mewtwo?
I don't know. I don't think a Mewtwo will be in a 10K. I think Mewtwo is so rare that you would have to find him, I don't know, somewhere crazy.
Okay.
What's your best Pokemon now?
Mine? I'll have to.
I want to know his combat points.
Oh, it's really, really weak. I have to check it. But Teresa did point out that she saw, your kids out Pokemoning all over the City, AJ.
Yeah, they were today?
No, yesterday.
Yes, yeah, they're Pokemoning every day. They went actually to Kima yesterday. Like they you know, they do stuff during the day anyway. They got to stay busy. It's summertime for those boys, but everything is about where can they find some new Pokemon. I know they were today at Discovery Green and I don't know, Herman Park.
Mine's a Pidgeot at 554, which is really weak. Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. I told you I don't play that much.
Do you have a Charmander?
Yeah, but Charmanders are hard to level up because you can't find a lot of them.
You have a Charmander?
Yeah, I started with a Charmander.
My kids want one bad. I told them they don't exist in Houston.
Well, I started off with the Charmander as my starter, but I haven't found one since.
Huh. You get to choose a thing to start out with?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the regular video game where you get Charmander, Bulbasaur, or Squirtle as your starter. Mine's always Charmander because it's my favorite.
You're talking like I knew that.
Well, those are your starters. So you pick one.
Interesting.
Okay.
So I'm kind of getting interested in this. I may wind up, never mind. Anyway.
You're going to do it.
No, I'm not. Because, well, if you get these eggs right, I like the idea that it makes you walk, right? Theoretically, you go walk and then they hatch. Well, the people of Japan have figured out a way around it. I would have thought Jong would have thought of this first.
No, I've seen this before.
They basically, I guess you put your phone onto a toy train, and as the train goes around...
Oh, it's just lazy.
Exactly.
Well, before it came out in Japan, somebody in the United States put it on a disc player or a record player and... Let
that
it
works.
Spin. Yeah, that works. And then somebody tied a string off a fan and ran the fan, and it was like going in circles, and that works too.
If I can catch Jesse, I will start playing Pokemon Go.
You cannot catch Jesse.
Damn.
You can catch Meowth.
Yeah, that's not the same. I'm not into cats.
Are you sure?
My kids caught a Meowth.
Hmm.
For sure.
All right. Quick break, Gym of the Day coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The first open call for Rock the Mic is tomorrow at Baker Street Pub in Cypress. Stop in anytime from 4 until 7 at the location on Spring Cypress and 290 and see if you have what it takes to get to the finals. Make sure to stay for The Blitz as we broadcast live starting at 4. You know, I'm going to redo this one. Come see The Blitz tomorrow at Baker Street Pub in Cypress. 4 to 7. And stop in anytime from 4 to 7 and do your first open call for Rock the Mic. Spring Cypress and 290. See you tomorrow. How's that? Is that better?
See you there.
You know what? I'm going to give something away. And we're talking about the ladies who listen to the show. So this is going to one of our female listeners. To take your guy out for an awesome date. Or your girl. I mean, if you're into that. I mean, we don't judge here.
No.
But you're going to win a 4-course fondue experience for two at the Melting Pot. It includes cheese fondue, salad, fondue entree, and chocolate fondue dessert. Melting Pot's located on Westheimer. It's where you take a date if you want results. I almost can guarantee you're going to get results. Just a mile and a half from the Galleria, 713-322-5546 for reservations. Let's take the fifth female caller at 713-780-3776. You win the Melting Pot gift card. Just a little appreciation to our female listeners who have stuck with us even though they got boyfriends.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You ever been there?
I have.
Or is it?
South of Nashville. It's where Middle Tennessee State is.
Yeah. But we must have more female listeners than I thought. The entire board's lit up.
Hey, if it's a dude, hang up on him.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know what usually happens?
If they're like, hi, my name's Johnita. Don't buy that.
I'd like to win the Melting Pot gift card.
I want
to
win the prize because I'm, you know, I'm like so girly.
Now, if you're a man and you call, you get syphilis. You don't get the Melting Pot. But now, you know what happens? The guy will be driving along and the girlfriend will be next to him. Here, quick call. Win this for us. I want to be a female blitzer, so they may make you ask, well, maybe make the interns ask you questions or something to make sure. Anyway, a woman named Isabel Lassiter, who's originally from Texas, went to a wasabi Japanese steakhouse, and apparently, I don't know if you've ever been to a hibachi restaurant.
I have.
But they basically have a toy that looks like a little boy who's dropping his pants and squirting water, right?
Right.
But it's just water. Well, apparently, sometimes they spray the patrons with the little boy. And Isabel Lassiter got very upset over this and basically said it was sexual assault.
Oh, boy.
Lassiter said it peed on me, basically out of his wee-wee area.
No, it didn't pee on you because it's a toy.
And it's water. Said, it didn't really have a wiener, but you got the point. It was sexual style assault on my wife, said James Lassiter. When officers arrived at the restaurant, they actually called the police. The officer wrote, I observed the toy to have no penis and just a hole for the water to shoot out. Of course, the Lassiter's claim this does not matter. Just because somebody cut off a piece of plastic, okay, it's not there anymore, doesn't change the fact you're getting peed on.
No, pee comes from living things.
I will go on record as saying if you think it doesn't matter, go ask Theon Greyjoy how he feels about not having one. But the manager issued an apology, but this is the first time anybody's complained. Said the kids like it. I think it's a water gun. Kind of like a water gun, you know. And technically, that's probably accurate, water gun. But apparently, they're going to make sure they ask permission before spraying you from now on, because this couple, I'm embarrassed that they're from Texas, but at least the good news.
Where is it, Dallas?
It doesn't say where. It just says Texas, which could be anywhere. It could be Odessa. Could be El Paso.
True.
I mean, Isabel Lassiter, that sounds...
Hold on. Let me...
I'm going to go...
How do you spell it?
Lassiter.
Is it Isabel?
Isabelle. Okay. Isabel.
Let's see where she's from.
That feels East Texas to me. Isabel Lassiter. No offense to East Texas, but that's just what that feels.
That's where you're going with.
I'm glad that they're out of Texas, but anybody who calls a cop over that and calls it sexual assault.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no one's telling her, no one's saying where she's from in Texas.
Hmm.
I don't like that.
I'm sure somebody out there knows her.
One of you guys knows her.
Hmm. Oh, you know what? That's a good idea. Somebody has to Shrek get a guarantee from the Melting Pot. That's what we should do. If we get somebody to go out with Evan or Shrek, even though those are completely unrelated and different things, we should get that date at the Melting Pot. I think we can make that happen.
Yeah.
That's a perfect idea. Good job, 409. Anyway, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So your biggest Pokemon is how many points?
554.
Yeah. My kid's biggest one is an Exeggutor.
Execute.
Yeah. It looks like a pineapple.
Oh, yeah.
It's got 1587.
Yep, that's strong.
That'll kill you, all your Pokemon, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. My kids dominate your Pokemon.
I told you, I don't play that much.
You got to play more if you want to keep up with my kids.
See, I like the idea of kind of walking around and being downtown. I bet I could get a bunch of them.
Oh, no.
I might get into this.
If you go to downtown on Saturdays, everybody there is playing.
Can you battle against other Pokemon people?
Yeah. You go to one of the gyms, and then you battle. You try to take over that gym.
But I couldn't just say, I want to battle you, Jong.
I think they're going to add that later. But right now, no.
They should bat, like, is it like, because Pokemon came, I was too old to play Pokemon when it came out. When you challenge someone to Pokemon, do they get to keep your cards if they win?
The cards, I didn't play the cards, but the game, no.
Okay. Because, like, you know when you used to play Pogs? Did you play Pogs when you were little?
Yes, I did.
And if you won, you got to take their Pogs.
Yep.
That's how it should be with Pokemon. Like, I should be able to come up to you and say, hey, I want to challenge you with my Pokemon versus yours. And if I win, your Pokemon's mine. Hand it over. That's how it should be.
Well, I want to be able to catch Jesse, and I want to be able to kill Ash. If I can do that, I'm in.
You can't do that.
Why not?
I don't
that
know.
Stupid hat of his? Anyway. Soccer Bilal says Pokemon Go has done more for exercise than NFL Play 60. That's probably true. I still think of that stupid bus commercial with the Falcons on it, and it's like, yeah, that's not going to make kids want to go out and play. All right, so yeah, if you won the melting pot thing, and you are going to have a good night, you know the best thing to do it on? A mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. That's right. If you're going to have a good night, that's the place to do it, because let me tell you, Texas Mattress Makers makes high-quality beds, and they're made right here in Houston, and they sell them directly to you. They sell it right there at the factory. You can actually go watch them being made while you're there, and they build these mattresses piece by piece, American-made steel, Louisiana wood, and Houston labor, no shortcuts. And the great thing about it is you're already saving a bunch of money, and I've had an opportunity to be out there several times, and I see the effort and the care that goes into these things, and I've learned more about mattresses than I ever imagined. I got to tell you, it makes a difference having a great mattress. And that's what you're going to get if you go to Texas Mattress Makers. You can go to a retail store. You'll pay a whole bunch more money. They're going to mark up the price. They may have even bought it from Texas Mattress Makers. Why would you do that? You go directly to Texas Mattress Makers. You're going to save 50% guaranteed over what you'd get in a retail store. How about this? Right now, for a couple more days, they're extending that July 4th sale. You're going to get 20% off the already low factory prices. And these are the top-of-the-line mattresses. The Queen mattress set, which might be $2,900 regularly, you're going to save more than $500 on that if you go before the end of the month. So this is it. You're running out of time through the end of July. Go check them out. See Yuval and the gang. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they will take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. Go to TexasMattressMakers.com or just visit them at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Tell them I sent you, Texas Mattress Makers.
Satan giving out deals, finna own these rappers. The game is full of slaves and they mostly rappers. You sold your soul first and your homies at. We told these stupid filthy, they could own they masters. Holy smokes, I think my pastor was the only folk to own the Rolling Ghost.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.